Hello and welcome back to Ball Is Life. Frankie Luongo, DJ Radical here with DJ Smooth. What's going on, DJ Smooth?
I'm good. How are you doing, DJ Radical? It's been a while since we've been on the air together here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm ready. Ball is life. We're getting to the thick of things right now. Baseball is in that playoff run. Basketball is about to start soon. Football just started, so it's a good time to be a sports fan.
It really is. And jumping right into it, we're going to get into the MLB. And immediately, do you want to do the AL or the NL?
Let's start with the AL because there's a lot of good races going on, especially in the American League East with the Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Orioles. And the Yankees, but the Yankees are kind of fading away a little bit.
The Yankees are fading away, but they are playing right now, and they're up 2-0 against the Red Sox, who
that's a good look.
They're trying to make that playoff, which they actually already clinched. They already clinched playoff berth. But still, for the wild card, it's going to be Toronto and Baltimore at the top two slots. Yankees still five back, so mm-hmm. Nothing much to look there. But for that wild card picture, Toronto slides in. Could Detroit make that push? Is Verlander healthy right now?
He is healthy, but he has not been the same player since like 2011, yeah. The last time they made it to the World Series against the Giants after the Giants swept them. He hasn't been the same player. I think Miguel Cabrera, I don't know if he's playing or not. I think he's out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is injured. They are actually up 5-0 right now. They're playing against the Indians, who also have just clinched.
They clinched the AL Central.
Yeah, they clinched the AL Central. And they did clinch the AL Central. That's right. And over to the NL, I guess we could do the...
Well, with the AL, I mean, we can still talk about, like, Seattle's making a late push. They're only two games out. Detroit's two games out behind Baltimore for that wild card mm-hmm. spot. And if you guys don't know, the top two wild card teams play in a one-game playoff, and then the winner plays the best team. So it would probably be the Texas Rangers is probably the best team right now in the American League. So the winner of that would play. So right now you got Toronto and Baltimore, two AL East teams, in the top two spots for the wild card.
Or Boston. They play Boston or Texas.
Yeah, I know Boston and Texas is battling for the number one seed mm-hmm. and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So it's going to be an interesting race. But I like Baltimore and Toronto to keep those top two spots. I think Detroit just doesn't have the pitching right now to hang or to get back into this race. And they are going to need, because all the teams are playing good right now at the top of the American League wild card. Toronto is 6-4 in the last 10 games. Baltimore's on a three-game winning streak. And for Detroit, they're on a three-game losing streak right now, 5-5 out of the last 10 games. So I don't think they can make that push. Maybe Seattle can make the push, but then again, it's just tough the way Toronto is. Toronto has just one of the best offenses in baseball, not even American League.
I was about to say, yeah, Joey Bats has just been going, and he's been playing some incredible baseball right now, and I think I'd give it to Toronto for the first wild card spot, unless something
drastically happens.
Yeah,
unless Joey Bats goes out, or Josh Donaldson's also great. They got Troy Tulowitzki over there.
They made some nice acquisitions.
Mm-hmm. So they've been building this offense for a while. Hopefully, they get to keep it, because I know Joey Bautista has been telling reporters that he's not going to give a hometown discount for Toronto. He's expecting to get paid this summer or this fall, winter.
And that's going to be a lot of money to re-sign him, because he's such a dynamic threat at the mm-hmm. plate and on the field as well. He has a great arm.
Possibly the Yankees, Joey Bats in the Yankees jersey.
I mean, Yankees, when you hear the Yankees, you just think of money, because
exactly.
they could purchase a lot of people.
Yeah, so I have Toronto, and then Baltimore is also, they have a nice, talked about, but they got a solid pitching rotation, and they also have Adam Jones there, the center fielder, and he's mm-hmm. team leader. He's been hot as of late. And also Baltimore's 50-31 at home this year, and they got a majority of home games coming this year for the last like six games of the season. So I expect Baltimore and Toronto just to hold on, and then you know, you got your teams. You got the Red Sox, the Rangers, and Cleveland Indians.
And they're actually, Baltimore and Toronto are actually going at it right now as we speak.
Wow. So yeah, that's a huge game. So maybe
a big time game.
Yeah. So a huge series. So maybe Detroit or Seattle or even the Houston Astros, who are sitting 3.5 back behind Baltimore for the second wildcard spot, can make some ground, but they got to win games.
And this is the first game too of the series.
Yeah. And Detroit hasn't been winning games. Seattle's been kind of 50-50.
Seattle has been inconsistent as of this far. They haven't really been showing that they can make those long runs through the playoffs. But in reality, you only need four to go to the next round. So
exactly.
It doesn't take a lot, but still, you need to win games at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. That's going to be an interesting Toronto. Yeah, and then Toronto, Baltimore.
Yeah, right when they bounce out of that, they're going to have Toronto. The Blue Jays are going to have the Red Sox. So they have. I think that's an uphill climb.
Yeah, they do have a tough schedule. But does Boston, the Red Sox, do they sit key players? Like, do they not play David Ortiz and
save Mookie Betts?
Yeah, and save them for the playoffs? Or do you just throw them in there?
I don't know. I feel like if they're on a hot streak right now, you would want to keep those players. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thing, because it's different from football. You know, you don't come out and get hit those grooves. You hit multiple games for grooves in baseball. It's a different type of atmosphere. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that all unfolds. I don't see the Yankees doing it. I mean it's a tough break, but we're gonna have to take this L.
A couple weeks ago they did have a legit chance of sneaking in the playoffs, but they just went on a horrible losing streak and got swept by the Red Sox. Toronto was taking advantage of them, and they even lost some series to some teams that they should have beat.
They're before the Blue Jays series, they had the Rays, and that's when it all started going downhill. So they got shut out by the Rays, and then it hops into the Blue Jays series, and they got shut out three consecutive times.
Man.
I mean, that's just demoralizing as a baseball club.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're bouncing back potentially.
Yeah. They do have a nice young core. I know they were sellers at the deadline, and they traded a bunch of like old players. They traded Carlos Beltran. They got rid of Chapman, Andrew Miller, and they got a lot of young pieces, and these young pieces have been performing. What's the guy's name? Gary Sanchez?
Is
it Gary Sanchez, the catcher?
Yes, yeah. He just had his 20th home run.
Yeah, he's been balling. He's been balling. He's been playing some really good baseball, and he's just been on fire at the plate. So he's a good addition for the Yankees for down the line for the future. So I'm excited for the Yankees. The Yankees are getting back, or it seems like they're building that core, the young core, to get back on top of the American League, on top of baseball.
Yeah, they were dominating for just decades. And then I think when Derek Jeter left, they needed to start rebuilding, and they start from the ground up. And that's what this team is looking like right now, a team that's not at its peak yet but is progressing to that point. But, I mean, it's going to take a lot of time, unlike the Dodgers on the other side, who are playing some good baseball right now.
Yeah. So let's just jump right into the NL. It's
Dodgers-Padres tonight.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers already clinched the NL West on Vin Scully's last game at Dodger Stadium.
And, I mean, what a performance from the rookie of the year. I'm going to say it, Corey Seager.
Corey Seager, yes.
The go-ahead home run right there.
Yes.
To tie it, the triple, in
the ninth. And then, I think it was Culberson hit his first home run of the season, and a walk-off home run to win the division. And then Yasiel Puig's also been playing well. So, to the NL, we have the Cubs, who already clinched home field advantage throughout
MLB's
the players.
MLB's best record.
With 100 wins and 56 losses. And then you have right now Washington as the second seed, who's clinched the division, and they're 91-65. And then you have the Dodgers right behind the Nationals, 90-66. So it's going to be interesting to see. Washington and the Dodgers, they're battling for home field in the series, because it's already set that the Dodgers will play the Nationals in the first round in the National League Division Series of the playoffs. So whoever finishes with the best record will end up having home field advantage in that series. So that's going to be crucial, because the Dodgers do play way better at home than they do on the road. The Dodgers are 53-28 at home, where they're 37-38 on the road. So the Dodgers are vying to get that second seed to get home field advantage against the Nationals. So that's going to be crucial.
And yeah, home field, as you said, is always something that's so key in any type of situation. But I mean, being 500 on the road, that's not a bad look for the Dodgers also. But the thing about the San Francisco Giants, who I think could really hang on, and I think that they're going to make the playoffs.
Do you think so?
I really do. I think that they have the tools and the right mindset to get there, and I think they could hold off that St. Louis, who has a one game back of getting in. And I think it's going to be the Mets and San Francisco who's going to have to fight for that wild card spot, because the Mets are playing some really good baseball as well.
I think so, too. I hate to say it, but I do think the Giants sneak in there after having a terrible second half of the year. Like, in the first half, they were one of the best teams in baseball. A lot of people were saying that they could upset and beat the Cubs in the playoffs. And now they just totally just dropped the ball.
They did. At the wild card break, or at the, I'm sorry, the all-star break, it was like, who is this team? Everybody was saying, oh yeah, even numbers, dynasty, bringing all that noise back out. And then it just shut down. And then now they're trying to scramble and pull themselves back together for the playoff run.
And a lot of people were saying at the all-star break, just wait till we get healthy. Wait till we get healthy. Wait till we get Pagan back and Pence back. And then they got all their guys back. And it just did not help. It did not help. It's horrible. And then the bullpen's just been the worst. I mean, Casilla's been blowing saves game after game after game. They tried to, now it's a open committee type closer role.
Yeah, the rotation type.
Yeah, so it's just, they're just in flux over there. They don't know what to do. But I see them sneaking in. But the big question is, do they beat the Mets in that one game playoff to face the Cubs?
So I'm going to say that you would have to start
Bumgarner, definitely getting a start.
Bumgarner for sure gets a start. I don't know, that it's going to be like, if they get through that, Bumgarner's now wasted a full game, a dire game that they need. So he's going to have to pitch at least 6 or 7.
So that means
full game.
Yeah. Cueto would have to pitch game one. Let's say they win.
That's what I'm
saying. Cueto would have to pitch game one against, Arrieta and the Cubs.
Yeah, so regardless, if the San Francisco Giants win, I see indefinitely the Cubs making it out of the first round.
Okay.
But I would have to give it to the Mets, I think. I don't think Bumgarner, I think it's the, I don't know. I think that, I don't see the Giants going anywhere this playoffs.
I don't know, because I'm not a Dodger fan, I hate the Giants. I do not want them to win. I don't even want them to get in the playoffs. But logically speaking, it's hard to bet against the Giants in October. It really is.
It is.
I mean, the last two times they've won the World Series was as a wild card team against the odds. No one was buying them to even make it out of the wild card game. I remember the last time they were a wild card team, they were playing against Pittsburgh, and Andrew McCutchen was like the MVP, and this was the Pittsburgh's year, and then they just totally killed Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So it's hard to go against the Giants, especially Bumgarner in October, because that's when he performs at his best.
Was that year that they beat the Pirates, was that the same year that Matt Kemp was supposed to get the Triple Crown?
No, that was...
Because that shocked me. I was so hot.
Yeah, that was a couple years before that. That was a couple years before that.
So I got a question for you.
Okay.
Between St. Louis, Miami, and Pittsburgh, if you could pick one of those three teams to sneak into the wild card over the Giants or the Mets, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Cardinals. I want to take Miami, but Miami's just 4 games out right now. There's not enough games. I mean, they beat the Mets yesterday, but there's just a lot. That's just too much.
They are on a 2-game win streak, and the St. Louis Cardinals are on a 2-game losing streak. Does this have any implication?
It does. No, there certainly does, but there's just not as much games for the Marlins to work with to sneak in.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. It takes so much in baseball to make something happen like this. It's not like football where you could have six different things happen, and the next thing you know, Chargers make the playoffs. You know?
Exactly.
None of that crazy stuff happens. It's really, there's no forgiveness in this sport, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it. That's what puts so much heart, and that's why you see so many emotions come out.
Exactly.
In the MLB.
Yeah, and also I just feel like for football, it's more even talent. Like teams, like obviously you got your like teams that stink, and you got your teams that are really good. Like for example, the Niners are horrible, or Cleveland Browns are horrible, and you got the Patriots that win.
Yeah, or the Packers.
Yeah, but like in between, like those middle teams, it's pretty even. It's a pretty even league. So 1 week, like these Browns could upset like a Green Bay Packer team or like a Denver Bronco team on any given Sunday. Where baseball, it's
great movie.
Yeah. No pun intended. But in baseball, it's just the more talent you have, obviously the better chance you have to win. I know kind of pretty obvious, but
no, but you could wake up and just be feeling it that day and then show up on the field and the other team could not, and then you come away with a win.
Yeah, so I feel like
anything is possible.
Anything is possible, but
Kevin Garnett, the big ticket. All right. Do you have anything that you want to close up on, or are you pretty set?
Yeah, I just want to know I want you to pick like AL, NL, the teams. Who you think's going to rep World Ooh. Series?
Okay, World Series.
Not even that. Let's just do the five teams that are going to make it for both leagues. Like AL, who are your five, including the three division winners and then the two wild card teams, and then NL, same thing.
Okay, so AL, it's Boston, Cleveland, and then Texas.
Yeah.
And then for wild card, I really want to believe that the Yankees can do it. But I'm going to go for sure Toronto. I think Toronto's playing some really good baseball right now. And then I think I'm going to go Detroit. I think I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers. I think that Baltimore's going to fall apart because they have.
So you think Toronto sweeps them? Toronto sweeps Baltimore.
And then Detroit
gets on a winning streak and sneaks in.
But I don't see Detroit beating Toronto in the wild card.
Yeah, same.
So I would take Toronto into that. And then for the NL, I'm going to go for a wild card. For wild card for Toronto, or for the NL, I'll take the Mets for sure. And I'll take the Giants. I'll take the pick that looks the best. Just because I think that that's what's going to happen. I think that just like you said, you can't count the Giants out in October. And the Mets are just playing some great baseball right now. They have a great lineup and everything is set. So I think I'm going to go with that. And then Washington, Chicago, and then the Dodgers are who I'm going to take for those three. And then for my World Series,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take – I think it's going to end up – the ALCS is going to be between Boston and Cleveland.
Interesting.
And then I'm going to take – this is tough, but I'm going to end up taking Cleveland. I'm going to say the Indians make it to the World Series.
Wow, bold prediction here on Paula's Life. You heard it here first. Radio.dominican.edu. DJ Radical.
I'm taking the Indians. And then NL, I'm going to say Cubs, Dodgers, NLCS. I got it. I think I'm going to take the Cubs.
I'm
going to take the Cubs.
Cubs, Indians. How? Just Cubs, crazy. Indians. They've been like at the bottom all these years, and now look, we're talking about Cubs, Indians, World Series.
And then it's going to be the World Series with a C. dropping knowledge here.
Oh my God.
And then I'm going to say Cubs in five.
Cubs in five.
Cubs in five.
Wow. So you're the drought, it's done. The 100 year.
It's going to go to 3-1, and then they're going to put them away.
At Wrigley Field?
At Wrigley.
What a picture, like what a moment that would be. Like
be something special.
The curse ending at Wrigley Field where it all started over 100 years ago.
Somebody's going to bring a goat to Wrigley.
Someone gets Steve.
And then So yeah, what about you? How would you break it down?
I don't know if I can follow that. I'm not going to be that bold of a statement, but so obviously you got Boston, Cleveland, Texas. Obviously they already clinched. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the playoffs. Wild card. I like Toronto. I think Toronto is going to be great. Also, I want to be a little selfish. I kind of want to see Toronto play Texas in the playoffs after that huge fight between Batista.
The ALCS? Yeah.
That's ALDS.
Oh, the DS. Yeah. Ooh.
That would be great.
That would be a chippy battle right there.
And then because I feel like Toronto can sweep Baltimore, I don't believe in Detroit. I'm going to say Seattle just wins the rest of their game.
Goes the distance.
And sneaks in. But will lose to Toronto in the wild card game.
Wow.
And then, so my two wild card teams are going to be the Toronto Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
And then for the National League, obviously you have the Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers. I'm going to say Giants, Cardinals. I say the Mets fall.
They fall apart and they
fall
just break
apart,
down.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I'm taking the Giants over the Cardinals.
The Giants over the Cardinals.
Yes. And then for
you want the Giants to make that big run. You think it's going to happen again? How far can this team go?
I mean, if they win the they get in as a wild card team, mm-hmm. they win the wild card game, I can see them taking the Cubs the distance 5 games in the first round because it's best out of 5 in the the division series.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see them taking them 5 games.
Wow.
And I would choose
So that's it right there, huh?
I would choose the Cubs over the Giants in 5. I'm taking the Dodgers over the Nationals in 5 because I think that's going to be a good game.
That's a good series.
I'm going to say Texas. Oh, let me see here. Texas clinches, gets home field advantage. They beat Toronto in 5. Boston beats Cleveland in 4. So we got Boston, Texas. I'm going to take Boston to beat Texas. So Red Sox in. And then I'm going to say the Dodgers upset the Cubs. And I'm going Dodgers in 6
goodness.
Games. I know it's biased.
Is it biased?
I'm going Dodgers in 6 games. World Series champs. Win for Vin. Hashtag.
All in. Wow. You heard
win
it here first.
We're you heard
to
it
save
here.
This broadcast.
Radio.dominican.edu. DJ Smooth says, bet on the Dodgers to win the World Series this year.
LA born and raised.
Go to Vegas. Put your bets down.
Take it to the polls.
Be old enough to gamble, but
yeah, you don't
all these underage kids convince your parents to bet on the Dodgers. Bet big.
Play this podcast for them and let them know.
This is the man that chose Baylor to go to the Final Four a couple of years ago and lost in the first round.
He has it saved as a reminder to never follow his first instinct. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this first segment of Ball is Life. We're going to be bringing it right back after this short break with some NFL and some fantasy football insight. So stay right with us.
It's good to be back.
Spin the bottle. Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know, in 1917, Dominican College was the first Catholic college to grant the BA degree to women. Dominican College of San Rafael became Dominican University of California at the beginning of the 2000-2001 academic year. This change recognized the university's graduate degree program, diverse student body, and global perspective. DU Did You Know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
I'm just a local boy. I didn't spend much time in school. I live beneath the guava tree. The river is my swimming pool. And you could never be more lucky when your back is young and strong. And you could never be more happy when you sing the whole night long. And underneath my guava tree, we dream about things to be. And you could never be more lucky when your back is young and strong. And you could never be more happy when you sing the whole night long.
Welcome back to Ball is Life, radio.dominican.edu, DJ Radical with DJ Smoove.
What's up, what's up?
Where the opposites collide.
Opposite, ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
Ooh, kill him.
It's hot in here.
It is hot in here. We need another fan.
All right, so we're going to be breaking into the NFL segment.
Week three. What a week.
What a week. That should be written somewhere. Joe, or oh my goodness, DJ Smoove.
Yes.
Giving away your identity like.
Yes, DJ.
DJ Smoove, what were your top three upsets of this week?
Of this week?
Studs and duds.
Studs. So my three studs. The Vikings. Everyone was giving up on them when Teddy Bridgewater went down. Then Adrian Peterson went down. Everyone was just throwing in the towel. Next year, they got to worry about next year. They traded for Sam Bradford. People, including myself, was like, why would they do that? That's dumb.
Yeah.
And they are 3-0, and they dominated Carolina. I'm not going to lie. They dominated. This defense.
This Vikings defense.
Is probably one of the best defenses in the league. Anthony Barr. You got Joseph, the defensive tackle. Nice.
Where is Jared Allen? I mean, like, they're proving that they could, like, they didn't need him.
Yeah, Jared Allen is now retired. He actually played for the Panthers last year. But
Cam Newton, three interceptions.
Yes, he had nothing going. The only, he the rushing touchdown that he did in the beginning of the game was his only highlight. They dominated,
and
shut
it was
him
nullified.
Down.
It was, yeah. Oh my gosh. What else do you got?
So Vikings, they're a contender for sure. Another one. Let me see here. Another stud.
You want me to do one of mine?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
The Buffalo Bills.
I was against
the Arizona Cardinals.
I was thinking about that.
This Bills team is playing tremendously. Who would have thought that Tyrod Taylor could be performing at such a level that he does? But what I think the reason that they've been playing the way, I mean, they're only 1-2, granted, but this week is what I'm saying. The reason that they played so well was the production work from LeSean McCoy. When this man gets out and performs at the level where he's basically supposed to each and every week, like, we shouldn't be surprised that he puts up 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. That should just be a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if he can come out and actually perform at the level he's supposed to each week, I think that the Bills team could make a playoff push.
Yeah, and they need the defense to play good, and they proved that by picking off Carson Palmer 4 times. And huge. Carson Palmer is a top-tier quarterback in this league, and the Cardinals' offense is hard to stop, hard to shut down, and Buffalo did definitely prove that this Sunday by kind of – they didn't just beat them. They smacked them pretty hard, 33-18. So good job, Buffalo Bills, there. Another – so my second stud – Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, my eyes were on that one.
The Eagles are 3-0, and they beat Pittsburgh, who a lot of people have the Steelers to be a Super Bowl contender. They beat them 34-3.
This is the worst loss for the Steelers since 1989. We weren't even a thought yet.
Who would have known? What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. The Eagles team is obviously looking spectacular. Great. You would think that Antonio Brown, he had 3 points. They had 3 points. You would think Antonio Brown, like, oh, what did he have, like 15 yards? This man had 140 yards still, but does not get in the end zone.
Wow. Do you know that from, were you fantasy watching? Did you play against him on fantasy?
I got it right up here on my... You know, you gotta stay strapped with the information on this. Ball is life. Raiders.edu. All right. So my other upset actually shouldn't be a big shocker, but I want to give it up for the Cowboys. I mean, they played the Bears, but they played some really good football. 31-17. I mean, that's a solid win. And then Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is starting to find his groove and hit the hole like he's meant to.
Yes.
He's running how he used to run in college.
Yeah, and they need that from him, especially, you know, hopefully Dez Bryant, who had a right sprained knee, because did you see that play where they landed on his knee? It was actually, like, pretty bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
It could have been worse than what it actually was. But they need Ezekiel Elliott to become a big threat and a big offensive weapon in this offense to help, you know, take the pressure off Dak Prescott, who's been playing phenomenal, by the way.
He has. He's playing like he's been in the league for years.
Exactly. Like, look at these rookie quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Garoppolo before he got hurt, and then the guy after the...
Yeah.
After him.
Isn't Trevor Siemian also...
No, he's not. He's not. He just never started, but he is not a... Rookie.
Yeah, but I mean, he hasn't had that much experience, but I think he's also been playing very well.
Young quarterbacks
Quarterbacks, I guess quarterbacks with not a lot of experience, but have had some great mentors.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it just shows the teaching mentality that these young guys have and the will to be great.
I forgot who said it. I think it was, I forgot who said it, but someone was like, said, like, they quoted him, ESPN quoted him. It was like, Carson Wentz is playing like a Hall of Famer.
I did see that.
I think it was someone on the Steelers defense.
I did see that. I believe it was.
I think it was James Harrison.
It was a player.
James Harrison was like,
that's bold.
Carson Wentz is playing like he's a Hall of Famer, not like his third week in his first season.
This man has a lot to prove. I don't think that he needs that in his head right now. But the fact that James Harrison, if it was the fact that he took the time out to say that and give him that acknowledgement and that recognition is huge. And I think that's I mean, you should be honored to have that. But honestly, you should also keep your head on your shoulders and know, okay, like, we got to keep working. We're 3-0. Let's get to 4-0.
Exactly. You move on to the next week. Don't get caught up in the hype. Because a lot of players or teams do that, and then they end up just tanking. So good for him, and hopefully he keeps it going. My last stud, it's got to be the Patriots. I mean, I know it's an obvious choice, but they have their third-string quarterback in, and now Julius Edelman is expected to play some QB at some point.
Apparently.
And they still shut out the Houston Texans.
27-0. Just blanked him.
Bill Belichick, I got to give this man props. He can put out a mop as a quarterback and, and still win. Yeah.
As long as they could have their defense perform with the way that they have been. I mean, Brock Osweiler was completely shut down by this defense. Only one pick for less than 200 yards. I mean, I got to give up for this.
Like
this championship defense.
DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, the receivers for Houston, were blanketed.
Yeah.
Like, no one was they had no room to operate, to even get open, to even, like, help their quarterback out. Lamar Miller, the Houston Texans running back, had nowhere to go. Just what a great performance by the New England Patriots. And obviously, they're a team to look at and a team to, like, kind of build your, like, to see them and kind of model your team around what they do, because they've been great for numbers of years.
Since Deflategate.
Since 2001.
Since when they were filming the Jets.
Since the Tuck Rule.
Since the Tuck Rule. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
All right, so duds?
Duds.
Fantasy for... We're still talking about sports teams and matchups.
Yeah.
Teams that should, I think a team that should have won is the Chargers against the Colts.
Wow. Here we go.
But injuries is the key word, and it should be hung outside Qualcomm Stadium.
Yes. They've lost 3 players who contribute in their first 3 weeks.
And this latest one, Manti Te'o, is the man that basically holds this Chargers defense together.
Barely.
Barely, but we don't have much else to go on.
Joey Bosa, where are you? Get in.
So I think I saw him on a milk carton because this man is missing. Keenan Allen, another tremendous loss for this team. It is just
probably
devastating.
The Chargers' best player.
Potentially the Chargers' best player, Keenan Allen.
It was done after one half of football.
Besides him, I would have maybe Joey Bosa, and we haven't even seen this man play a single snap.
He might not play.
He might not play.
Is he injured or something? What happened?
His hamstring is hurting him. Let's not.
First, it's a contract detail, contract language. Now it's my hamstring hurts. What were you doing?
During
the summer, you weren't out there in training camp.
His walk to the table to sign the contract. It's hurt his hamstring.
They were pulling. He was like, hold me back.
What is your dud?
Dud. Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the Jets offense.
Yes.
What are you going on? I'll get more into why I'm upset in the next segment, but what happened? And it's not like the 6 interceptions that he threw. Yes. I don't know if you heard me correctly. He threw 6.
This is not a joke. Nor an error.
6 INTs. And they weren't like INTs were like on his side of the field, like on the Jets side. Like they were in the Chiefs red zone. 3 of them were in the Chiefs
in the
end
red
zone.
Not the red zone, the end zone.
The touchdown. They could have scored, and he threw 3 of them. 2 returned for touchdowns, I believe.
I think I saw him wearing a Chiefs shirt before the game, walking into the locker room.
As the coach, as Todd Boyles of the Jets, as the head coach, after the 3rd one, why are you not considering putting Geno Smith in? I know that's not an upgrade, but it's better than what this man could have done.
Yeah,
this,
I mean,
what this man did, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't know why they didn't switch him out after three,
six
four,
INTs.
But yeah,
and I'll get more into like just in the next segment. It's just disappointing. Ruined my Sunday.
For mine, my other one, I'd have to give it up for the Steelers offense for duds. I mean, this team, 3 points. Antonio Brown, potentially the best wide receiver in the entire league, held to 140 yards. That is a bad game for this man. And D'Angelo Williams can't get himself going. Also a tremendous athlete and competitor and a running back. Ben Roethlisberger is, you expect more from the, when you hear Steelers, you think a bunch of points. You think championships.
You think good football.
You think Hines Ward. Yeah, you think. But this team got 3 points. At least they got something on the board on, like, my next dud coming up.
My next dud, the Cleveland Browns. And I know you don't want to kick a man when they're down, but they had a chance to win the game. The defense makes a fabulous play. They strip Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill's trying to get the ball down to get, at least get in field goal range to win the game because they are tied. So the Cleveland Browns get a strip sack, recover the ball at the 20. They take a knee, call a timeout with like 4 seconds left. Their kicker comes out and blows the game. He missed. And it was like down the middle. It was like a 35-yarder just like down the middle. Like
it was an extra point.
It was an extra point.
It was an extra point.
This man missed. What are you doing? Like, that's your only job.
That sums up the Cleveland Browns franchise.
Just their, I just like, I don't get it. Like, make the field goal. The cameraman, like, you know how, like, they do this, like, they have a shot of, like, the Miami bench and the Cleveland bench. Yeah. The Miami bench is, like, all happy. And then they pan it to Cleveland. It's Terrell Pryor just like cursing, and you just get to read his lips, and he's just like
just
the most
good.
Upset man on the planet Earth at that time.
Because this man was playing like he was a Marvel Avenger. He had over 100 yards receiving, ran in for a touchdown, and then next thing you know, he's the quarterback of this team. This man was everything.
Oh, yeah, but he was so hurt.
Yeah, I would be too. Gosh, that's a tough break. And then finally for my last dud is going to be the Texans offense, because on my fantasy football team, I have DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans D, and Lamar Miller. And what a rough week it was for me, which perfectly segues into our next segment.
Yeah, fantasy football.
So speaking of defenses,
here we go.
Do you want to give us some insight on the Chiefs situation and why you have such powered emotions?
Okay, so I was sitting here with DJ Radical, and we were watching the games together on Sunday. And right before the Chiefs-Jets game started, I looked at him and verbatim said, I need the Jets offense to just hammer the Chiefs defense.
To torch them.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, just because I'm starting I have two leagues, and I was starting Fitzpatrick in one, and I was going against the Chiefs defense in another one.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. So I was like, I need Fitzpatrick just to have a great game. And the way it ended, we were watching the Red Zone channel and then the Chargers game at the same time. And we were looking over to the Red Zone, and all you can see every time they're like Chiefs Jets update, it's the Chiefs defense intercepting Fitzpatrick
or for a pick six.
Yeah, pick six. Marcus Peters had like three of them. And I was just so upset. The Chiefs defense ended up with 36 points. So whoever had the Chiefs defense this week,
what a start.
You did great by starting them. And whoever had Fitzpatrick, I feel your pain, because he ended up with -3 points. I still won my game, but he had -3 points.
All that matters.
I didn't even have a quarterback. I should have started Mariota. Mariota had 4.
They had 2 touchdowns. They had 32 points in an ESPN Standard League, the #1 defense of the week. And that's the last thing that you ever want to see when you're going up against a team like that.
Their Chiefs defense had more than the opposing team's quarterback. So the team I had, he had Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles only ended up with 13 points. The Chiefs defense like doubled that.
The Chiefs defense was this man's team.
Yes.
That was just point blank.
It was the difference of the game. I lost by like 25 points.
Jeez. So do you want to do the top players in each position for the week? And I'm going to name them off, and then you're going to – do you want to give me your insight on –
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So
bring it
Trevor
up.
Siemian went number one this week with 28, Aaron Rodgers with 26, and Matt Stafford with 26. So what does that tell you about Trevor Siemian and this Denver offense for
Siemian,
fantasy?
I think the offensive coordinator gained some trust in him and allowed him to air it out and just see what he can do. So that's a good sign. He could be a good solid pickup to like just have on your bench, like when you need a start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a good fit, like maybe later on in the season to make, you know, a playoff push or something like that. Honestly, I wouldn't add him. I think there's a lot more better options. I think this is just like a one game wonder. He had his birthday game.
He did have a nice deep ball to Demaryius Thomas.
I did see that.
Talking about how the wide receivers didn't get any love in week two, and that the head coach said, "All right, let's get our wide receivers some balls then." And then next thing you know, they're just airing it out and they get those touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd have to agree with that, but I don't think that they can reciprocate that. So now these are the top running backs.
Okay.
Top running backs, Devonta. All right, the top two both got 26, and they're both the Atlanta running backs. Trevor Coleman and Devonta Freeman. Devonta Freeman got all the yards. Tevin Coleman brought in all the touchdowns. Devonta Freeman, 152 yards.
Yeah, and he had 55 receiving yards.
Yeah, he did. He caught all five of the targets to him. And he had a touchdown on receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving.
I think that's what a lot of fantasy players expected from this duo. Because I have Devonta Freeman on my team, and someone took Coleman right after, so that I couldn't handcuff him.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sucked.
Which a handcuff is when you have two running backs on the same team that have a community type shared back. What you do is you take one, and then the next pick you take the other, so that you can control that type of the destiny of the two running backs.
Yeah. So like if one gets benched or one's get injured, you're okay, cause you have the replacement right there.
Exactly.
So that didn't happen. Like I was trying to do that strategy. It didn't work out for me, but Devonta Freeman was kind of quiet the first 2 weeks. And I think this is what everyone expected from Devonta Freeman and Coleman of the Atlanta running backs. Cause that's where the offense starts, because Julio Jones is obviously, he's going to get double teamed. They're going to have guys on him. The Atlanta Falcons receiver.
And yeah, he was one of the duds of this week.
So you're
accurate there. He had one catch for 16 yards.
So, like, Atlanta needed these two guys to go. So if this keeps going, I would start them. They're a good high-end, like, second, like a high running back two to start. I don't know about running back run.
And then on the flip side of that coin, if you're not a big fan of that type of situation, they're saying to sell high on those players right now and just ship them out and then get something in return that you could use for in the future, like another type of tight end or wide receiver. And speaking of wide receivers, how about Marvin Jones? 205 yards,
he
two touchdowns.
Went stupid.
32 fantasy points. And then Emmanuel Sanders and Terrell Pryor were the other top two with 23 each, although Terrell Pryor was throwing for 35 yards, so not a lot, but he caught a touchdown and he rushed in a touchdown.
Expect that a lot from Terrell Pryor. I think Terrell Pryor is a good flex option for weeks to come because Hugh Jackson coached him in Oakland and like kind of worked with them, so they're kind of familiar in what like he likes to do and what Hugh likes to use him in. So it's going to be – I think he's going to be a good, like, flex option. So if you're having trouble thinking about who to start and you have Terrell Pryor on your team, he would be a good option because this man can do everything, and he proved that last week.
Exactly. And, I mean, it wasn't – I mean, that's not the best team to show your – to showcase against.
The Browns, yeah.
But still, I mean, he had a tremendous game. So now for the tight ends, Zach Miller of Chicago – really got his work in, 19 fantasy points. Is this a Is this a one? Is this also a birthday game?
Because
Zach Miller is not. He's not that. He's not like, oh, I need this tight end on my team.
Yeah, it depends on who starts at quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Because if Jay Cutler starts, he's obviously going to try to get it to, you know, Kevin White, Alshon Jeffrey, yeah, of course. But I heard Alshon Jeffrey left the game with an injury. He did end up with 5 receptions, 70 mm-hmm. yards, no touchdowns. But
they also throw it out to Langford a lot. To
Langford also, yeah. But with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, I don't know. He just seemed comfortable with Zach Miller. So yeah, if Hoyer starts at quarterback, Zach Miller might be a guy to look at the tight end position.
And I think that's the same thing that happened with Gary Barnage, which exactly, we both had. And then once RG3 goes out, once
with Josh McCown
goes out, now you have Chase Keenum in there. And
Cody Kessler,
yeah, sorry. That was the USC quarterback. So then Cody Kessler gets in there, and he's used to that type of offense where they do use their tight ends. And he found Gary Barnage quite a few times. He ended up coming in, I think, 7th or 8th here on the list with just 8 points. But still, any points for tight end are just so crucial to have.
Yeah.
Which bounces us over to the defense. And the Chiefs, obviously, we know, had the top defense with 32 points. Can they reciprocate this in their next game? And they are going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers next week.
That's a tough one, because I think Pittsburgh, after being embarrassed by Philadelphia, is going to come out hot.
Yeah, and they're going to come out firing.
And Antonio Brown, you know Antonio, he's just hard to cover, especially with two guys on him.
He is an animal.
Like you said, he had 140 yards last game. So that's going to be a tough start, but maybe you just stick with it. Maybe you just ride the wave until it ends. Hopefully it continues. Yeah,
I mean, it's not a safe... The Chiefs' defense is honestly a great job. They have done not the best the last 2 weeks, but they are honestly one of the top defense. They're number 3 overall.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not try to ride that train, like you said.
Yeah, but the for sure start at the defense is Minnesota Vikings, because they've just been on a tear these like last 3 games, and I think they got 25 points.
Yeah, they were number 2. They were the number 2 defense. Yeah,
so Minnesota is going to be a solid start. But the Chiefs defense, yeah, I would just ride the wave. I mean, 6 INTs, all in their red zone. That's ridiculous.
That is just
I don't care
defense.
Who you're playing. That's just ridiculous.
And the Bills defense just came out on all cylinders as well. They had 21. So, I mean, any one of those three, they're just defensive animals.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell, like, all those three teams have, like, defensive mind coaches, like Andy Reid, Mike Zimmer, and then you have who was the other one? Buffalo Rex Ryan. So those are all like kind of defense oriented coach. So that makes sense why the defenses are like the top 3 of last week.
All right, and then we're gonna actually DJ Smoove and I are playing against each other in this week in fantasy football.
Yes.
And we're gonna do really quick. I just wanna get a little insight. What do you think's going to happen this week before we exit here on Ball is Life?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm 0-3. I'm struggling. I'm desperate for a win. So I'm going to be studying real hard on whatever fantasy website I can find.
Get my hands on.
Whatever podcast I can listen to. And I'm going to try to get this dub. It's going to be tough. You're 2-1.
I am 2-1. I took a tough loss this week. Kelvin Benjamin was one of the biggest duds. Did not get a single catch when he's a number one wide receiver, and this man didn't see the ball one time in Cam Newton's just horrific game. But there's always next week, yeah, and Joe's been keeping his chin up. I'm going to keep my chin up, and we're going to go head-to-head, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday with the result of that game. Again, DJ Smoove, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Glad to be back with you, man.
Yeah, DJ Radical, I've been missing it. Itching to get back in the studio.
All right, Ball is Life is the show. Radio.Dominican.edu is the channel. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.
...in 1918 and has since been transformed into a state-of-the-art health science facility that now houses the departments of nursing...